Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Scripture says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In today's message, Pastor Joel concludes last week's message entitled Meekness versus Weakness, Adopting the Mind of Christ.
As you know, a true disciple is anything but weak. See, and when you have strength, you don't have to flaunt your strength. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to showcase a showboat when you have strength. As a matter of fact, a disciple of the Lord is extremely strong. And I don't mean strong as in how much can you bench press or how many sit-ups or push-ups can you do. Now, that's all good on the one hand, okay? But that's physical strength. Now, what we're talking about here is spiritual strength. If you know 1 Timothy 4:8, what it tells us, it says that bodily exercise profits a little, but spiritual strength is good for not only that which is that is now, but that that is to come. So that's what happens when you get spiritual strength. Pastor, read that. Why don't you take us there for a minute? I'm just reading off the top of my head. 1 Timothy 4:8. Read what that says.
1 Timothy 4:8 tells us that for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come.
All right, that's what I was trying to say. Exactly. Thank you, Pastor. So bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for that, not only for that which is now, but the life that is to come. So that is the spiritual strength that we get when we are in Christ. So again, this is a confirmation that strength from a natural or worldview is simply anemic when it's compared to having spiritual strength, which of course comes from on high. That's what we need to understand. And this is what was seen in the patriarchs of old, by the men of God in the old days. Moses, for example. Moses was a man who had what? He had strength. He had courage. Am I right? Yet the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, if you go to Numbers and you look up chapter 12, verse 3, you don't have to do that now. I'm not going to pull it up. But back in Numbers, the Bible tells us that Moses was a very humble man. So Moses had natural strength and natural courage, yet he was a humble man. Okay? Is that right, Miles? He was a humble man. All right? So in fact, he was more humble than all the men on the face of the earth. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's some humility, all right? All the men on the face of the earth, that's what it says. But even in his own natural strength and spirit, he wound up doing what? He killed a man, didn't he? He killed an Egyptian, and he lived as a fugitive for a time, did he not? Okay? And so, and also, he wound up not being allowed to cross over into the promised land. Did he not? That's what happens when we go on our own strength, our own emotions. It can trip us up, okay? But let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 4 and review a passage. This is a conversation between the Lord and Moses, which will help us to see how meekness is a benefit to God's people. So we're going to go to Exodus, and we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, and Pastor, can you take us to that point? And this is when the Lord called Moses to be his representative. The Lord had called Moses to go and confront Pharaoh. So we're going to go to Exodus 4, verses 10 to 17, Pastor.
All righty. For those taking notes, Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17 tells us, "Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made the man's mouth?
Who made man's mouth?
Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. I will be God. That's my God.
Isn't that how he talks?
I will be with your mouth, uh-huh, and I will teach you what you shall say.
Uh-huh.
But he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send.
Mm-hmm.
So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do.
Mm-hmm.
So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs.
All right.
That's my God.
Thank you, Pastor. That is a very interesting. I don't know if you all find that interesting. I find that conversation eye-opening. It's very interesting because we see that although as I said earlier, Moses was a man with natural strength and courage. We see here that he was also what? Meek. He was also humble.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not me, Lord. Send somebody else. Sounds like he was about to faint. I mean, you got the wrong person, Lord. And the Lord answered him and told him. As a matter of fact, the Lord started getting a little upset with Moses, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He says right here that in verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you know that when the Lord calls you for something and you turn him down, do you think he likes it? When he tells you and you know you've been called by the Lord, Moses was called by the Lord, here he is trying to get out of it. The Lord didn't like it, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. He got upset, didn't he? So how do you think the Lord feels when we try to skirt on our responsibilities? When he knows us better than we know ourselves.
Amen.
Moses said, I'm not your man. He said, oh, yes, you are. Basically, that's what the Lord said. And he said, well, I can't speak. He said, I'm going to be with your mouth. He said, I'm going to be with your mouth and with your brother's mouth. Between those two mouths, I'm going to put the word in your mouth. So stop mouthing that you don't want to do it. Okay? That's what the Lord was saying. You see what I mean? And this is how we have to see that God knows. And as hard a time as Moses was giving, the Lord didn't let him off the hook. You know why? Because he knew the heart of Moses.
Amen.
He knew Moses' humility. Okay, and this is what I'm trying to get across. Basically, the Lord takes away all the excuses that Moses was trying to use. And then on top of all that, he told Moses in verse 17, and this is the kicker. He told Moses in verse 17, now take this rod in your hand, take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. In other words, the Lord was saying, what are you worried about, man? You've seen what I can do, and you're not going to do the work anyway. I'm going to do the work through you.
Amen.
That's what he was really saying. Because was Moses going to do the signs, or was it the Lord doing the signs through Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Manifesting himself through the vessel. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to think. Moses couldn't raise the dead neither more than you and I can raise an eyebrow. He couldn't do it. Unless the Lord allowed him and gave him the strength from on high to
power,
do it, to part the Red Sea, to raise your arm.
Yeah,
but the Lord will use a vessel to do those things.
Yes,
and so he was preparing his vessel.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to use Moses in a mighty way, but Moses had to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
So he took him through a series of tests, and he told him, he came to him in a burning bush, and he revealed himself and saw if he was going to run away or if he would come when he told him to, if he would leave his life as he knew it and leave the splendor and all the opulence of being with Pharaoh to come and walk the wilderness for 40 years, humbly doing what the Lord wanted him to do. That's meekness. And that is not weakness. That is being in the strength of the Lord. And that's what we have to understand. I'm telling you. In this way, we see that Moses was like all people. He had issues. Am I right? Moses had some issues. He had some strong points and he had some weak points. But this is what I want you to understand. Whatever was weak about Moses, or whatever bad points he had, his meekness and humility put him on a higher plane with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So you can have problems. You might be a know-it-all. But I'm not saying to be a know-it-all. You might be someone who thinks this or thinks that. You're going to have some things that God has to shore up. But one of the things that he respects, that he loves in his people, is meekness. And it's not weakness. So you've got to understand that a humble spirit is a plus in our relationships with the Lord. Even Paul, before he met Christ, he considered himself to be what? A Pharisee of all Pharisees. Mm-hmm. That's what he said, right? Mm-hmm. Even Paul wound up completely humbling himself once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? It was all over for Paul. Paul said, "Lord, what would you have me do?"
Humble.
He humbled himself, okay? And thus, God used Paul in extraordinary ways, right? And here's the thing about Paul. Paul suffered for Christ, didn't he? Paul truly suffered for Christ's sake. Yet, through it all, he took on the mind of Christ. Paul grabbed hold to the mind of Christ and did not let it go. I wonder if we can do that. I wonder if we can do that in the times we're seeing today. I wonder if we can hold on to the mind of Christ and believe everything that he is putting out in front of us. That's what Paul did. Let's look at this. Look at what Paul teaches in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Pastor, can you read that, please?
Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma."
All right. Thank you, Pat. There are some words in there. There are some words in that verse right there. Paul tells us to be what? Imitators of God. When you imitate God, you watch God. You keep your eyes on God. When you imitate God, you look at him. You see how he walks. You see how he moves. Now, we can't, of course, no man has ever seen God. That's what the word says, and live. No man shall see God and live. But we can see the characteristics of God, can't we? We can see how God moves. We can see it through his word, right? Just like when I learned how to defend myself, I watched how my instructor moved. I watched how he turned, and he taught me to turn on a swivel. To leave one, don't put all your weight on both legs so somebody will break your knee. You learn how to use your body in a certain way. I had to watch him. I had to imitate him because I wanted to learn his skills. I had to learn when I played baseball. I had to learn how to put my hips into the swing and how to do different things like that to make it work with the most efficiency. So Paul says right here, "Therefore, be imitators of God." That means learn how God moves. One of the things we have to learn about God is that he was humble when he walked in the flesh of man. Jesus was humble when he walked in the flesh of man. So that's one of the things that we must imitate, is to be meek and understand that meekness is not a weakness. In fact, when it comes to Jesus Christ, to be meek like Christ is to be strong in the last long. Because that's what he did. Amen? Amen. That's exactly what Jesus did. There was nothing meek, weak about his meekness. And that's what Paul is saying. He says to imitate, be imitators of Christ as dear children. A child imitates his father,
Amen.
Her father, her mother. Some girls imitate their father. My daughter was more like me. She's very, very to the point. She's not going to play. But I'm saying, the scripture says to imitate God as dear children. That's what Paul is saying. And he reminds us that Christ loved us enough that he sacrificed. He sacrificed himself for us.
Thank you, Lord.
You see what I mean? Christ sacrificed for us. We in turn should be the embodiment of Christ's love and self-sacrifice. But will we sacrifice the way Christ sacrificed? Will we put ourselves last, or are we always putting ourselves first and things like that? Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is what he's saying. Again, any well-meaning father loves nothing more than to see his children take after him and follow in his footsteps. There are any men out there, and you all have had children, you want somebody in your family to take after you. A mother wants her daughter to take after her. Okay? And those that don't, well, you said, I don't know where that one came from. But the ones that do, you want them to, you don't really say that, but you do want them to take after you, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Jesus was humble, okay? He was humble and obedient to his Father. So then, so should we. Amen? If Jesus was humble and obedient to his Father, we ought to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, don't
Amen.
You think?
Amen.
Okay? That is, if we expect to please God, if we expect to please God, we have to do the things that are pleasing to God. For we live in a time where God is speaking louder than ever before, saints. He is speaking louder
Amen.
To his people, to his children, yes, but also to the entire world. God is speaking right now, okay? You know what we're going through. We're going through a pandemic. Okay? And he's speaking to everyone. He's speaking to the children of God, but he's also speaking to those who are not his children. He's saying, you can become my children. That's what it says in John 1:12. It says, as many as received Christ were given the right to be called children of God. Isn't that what it says? You all check the scripture. I'm just reading that, but that's what it says. In John, I'm quoting in John 1:12. But that's what it says. As many of them as received Christ was given the right to be called children of God. To those who what? Believe in his name. All right? So that's what it's saying. And those who know the Lord, you all know to stand always on this scripture. And there's another scripture that's timeless, that we should always hold on to. And we quote it a lot. You all know it by heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Mm-hmm. What does
it say?
Right now. Mm-hmm.
Think about that in relation to what Paul is saying now and in relation to what we're going through with this pandemic and this COVID-19. And the Lord is saying what? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves mm-hmm. and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. I'll let this thing pass by. If my people are called by my name, will do what?
Humble themselves.
There's that word again.
Humble
themselves. If they will become meek and humble themselves in the eyes of God. This is very important. This is very important to you all. So we need to fill up on this word. We need to fill up on this word, and we need to take this and digest it because we need it in us now. And we need to be the embodiment of meekness and understand that it's not a weakness. Okay, what we're talking about in this sermon today. Now, the Holy Spirit led me to this, and it's not going to be a long sermon. He led me to give you this message today. The Holy Spirit spoke of these two men, these patriarchs of God, both Moses and Paul in this case, how they were used mightily to do the will of God. Though neither one was perfect, right? Both were strong, yet both were meek and humble in the sight of God. That's what you have to understand. And Jesus himself was humble and meek when it came to pleasing his Father, okay? So in closing, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? Let me say this. That mankind needs to see ourselves. We need to see ourselves standing at the crossroads of life. That's where we are. That's where we are as human beings right now. We don't know what's coming down the ramp. If this biological thing can come this way, this germ, whether it's man-made or not, God allowed it, didn't he? Okay? But we see ourselves on the threshold. We see ourselves as human beings that we're going to have to make some decisions. I said last week, I quoted Deuteronomy 30:19, where the Lord says, I've set before you as witnesses before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Okay? We're at a crossroad right now. He says, you can go left or you can go right. He says, if my people are called by my name, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And we need to think about that right now. Okay? We're standing at the crossroads. What will become of us in the next few weeks, months, or years if God allows it? What will become of humankind? What will become of mankind? Whatever it is, it depends in part on our willingness to understand the concept of meekness and, yes, weakness, and how both are viewed in the eyes of God. Forget about the eyes of man. We're talking about in the eyes of God, okay? That's what the Lord wants, all right? It would behoove us all to learn from those who have gone before us. We need to learn from this Bible. We need to learn from the men and the women of God and people like Paul and many others that I've neglected to mention today. Mankind today would do well to take a page out of the positive side of their lives of these men of old and make the effort to imitate God, as Paul said, to be like God instead of trying to be God ourselves.
Amen.
Did you hear that? There's a difference in trying to imitate God and be like God instead of trying to be a God yourself. Okay? That's another point to ponder. We need to look at those things. We got leaders worldwide, both saved and unsaved, who need to realize that no one has absolute authority except God himself. I don't care what your position is. I don't care where you are in life. No one has absolute authority except God. You may be the biggest CEO in the biggest Fortune 500 company. You may be at the tip of the top of the top. You may be above the glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. God still trumps your power.
Amen.
God can take it all away at the snap of a finger.
Yes.
And you've seen that. You see people begging to get back to work. The country is now, the world is now saying, that's okay, we'll lose bodies, but we need to get back to work. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that God has absolute authority over everything. Only Amen. God himself has that. And the sooner we come to fully understand that very important fact, the sooner we will submit to God and discern the difference between meekness and weakness, and therefore adopt the mind of Christ. Okay? Amen. For true strength lies in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 137:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Praise God. We need his peace. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for another powerful message with Pastor Joel. Until next time.